I am delighted to say that joining me in the studio is Trish Gaynor from the Northside Partnership. Good morning, Trish. Welcome to...
Good morning, Tony.
Welcome to Near FM. Trish, I was recently down and we did a live link back from the jobs fair in Kish House, and something that came up that morning during the broadcast and the chat with people down there was the importance of a CV and an up-to-date and a current and a proper CV. And you're going to talk to us a little bit about that this morning and other bits and pieces that you do, but we'll start with the CV side of things.
Yeah, Donny, thanks for having me this morning. As you said, the CV is a really important part of the job seeking process. It can get you the first interview. It can get you, you know, picked out of the application pile. And a lot of people really don't realize how important it is, or they think, oh God, this is fine, it will do. So it really is good and important to have someone with some expertise look at it, make sure it's up to date, make sure that it says the right thing, that it's clear, and the person looking at it can understand it, that it's not an essay, that it actually is a statement of fact, and that you can expand on that if you get the interview, but that it's a very clear statement of fact that is relative to the job I'm applying for. So we get a lot of people that do come in and do need some help with that, or it's maybe even their first one. They've been in work and are now out of work and haven't ever created a CV before, so it could be new to people. So it really is a good starting point to look at your CV, review it before you send it on, and get some expertise on it.
And Trish, something that came across to me that morning, and I think it was one of the chaps down there who actually does the mock interviews and mm-hmm. that with people as well. But the topic of CVs came up, and I thought it was a very relevant and an interesting point. He said, it's a CV, it should really be bullet points. It's not, as you, I think the word you used there was, it's not an essay. And it was a question I asked because I was wondering, is it fact or is it urban myth that most people who are conducting interviews, that they actually read the cover letter and just glance through the CV? So big detailed 4, 5, 6 pages of a CV is not really the way forward. 2 pages max, maybe?
No, it's not, because what you're trying to do is have it as a statement of fact, as I said, and spark the employer's interest. So if you have it in an essay form, you're making me have to do work as the employer and I have to read. So you can easily get distracted and miss something, where if it's bullet points, statement of fact, things stand out, it's interesting, that actually would appeal to me more than reading it and making me do more work to find something that's interesting. So really the layout and how it is presented does matter, and it makes it a little bit easier to stand out, possibly.
And Trish, I mentioned it there, but I think it's worth going back over and getting maybe a little bit more detail from you on it. The covering letter.
Yes, the cover letter, you know, again, it depends on the application process, which we always say refer to the job ad, because the employer will outline how they would like you to apply. So sometimes it could be an online application that doesn't include a cover letter, and that could be one way that they're requiring you to put in for the job. But if it is a cover letter, again, it's not to be completely redundant. It's to be relative to what the employer is asking for in the job, and maybe put something of personal interest about yourself that might make them say, okay, I really want to see this person's CV. So again, it's being relative to the job, a little bit interesting, and maybe personal about yourself in the cover letter. And again, these things are the first thing that you're being asked to do in response to that job ad. So it is, again, good to use a service or your employment guidance officer, if you're already linked, to get some expertise on it. You know, I'm part of the local employment service. I know you've had experience with the jobs club, education, and training. The Northside Partnership is now over 25 years. We're now in our 26th year in the North, the Dublin Northeast community here, serving it. So there is a lot of expertise. There's a lot of changes that happen that we respond to. There's a lot of stuff that we look to see, well, what is happening in the job place and how can we help our clients and our community?
And I see something here. There's like a 6-point plan or a 6-point... well, it's actually 8. We'll call it a press release that you have here. Career path planning. What's that?
Well, that's basically what the local employment service does, because everybody that's job seeking needs to probably have a plan. And that's the best advice we could give, is to plan it, because job seeking could be something that people are doing for a longer time. Job seeking can be new to people that are newly unemployed. So job seeking is a job and does require a plan, because if you don't have a plan, it can be a little bit wishy-washy, and maybe the employers can read that. So if you plan for it, you can probably target it better, even in your response to job vacancies. But again, before even the job vacancies, part of the plan may include training, development, creation of a CV. So that is something that you would explore in the local employment service. Like I said, we've been over 25 years doing this in the community, and it's basically looking at an individual plan, and every individual is different and has a different need or a different goal for the workplace. So again, you get to look and explore this one-to-one with a career guidance officer, and then develop a plan that's best suited to you, but then also meets the needs of the workplace. So again, what are your goals, and what are the realistic expectations of that position in the workplace? Do I have them? How can I get them? And we look to see what work we need to do to get there.
And Trish, I see something here which I just want to touch on briefly. It's, you know, who can make use of the services? 16 years of age and older or over, you have to be unemployed, you have to be living in the neighbourhood in which the schemes are, or in which you work, which, as you said, is the Dublin North East region, and 17, 3, 5, 11, all those areas. But I see one thing here, looking for work. Now, does that mean that the person that you're dealing with, that they come to you off their own bat, that they're on the live register, and they say, look, I don't want to be unemployed, and they come to you off their own bat and say, look, this is what I'm qualified at, maybe my CV needs to be updated, or look, this is what I was doing, look at it, there's no future, there's nobody taking on somebody like that, I want to reskill, and you organise that, and then they come back, redo their CV and go off and do their interviews. Or are people sent to you by the department? I'm trying to get a picture of the person that sits opposite you.
There are many areas that we do work in, so there are people that are directly referred into our service, and that's wonderful as well, because again, they get the same service as the people that walk in the door, so it's still the expertise of the local employment service, it's the one-to-one career guidance, it's the planning, it's the training and development end of it, and we run a lot of in-house programs that we get to utilize within the Northside Partnership. So yes, we get direct referrals, but we also have an office in Kilbarrack, and we have an office here that all people in the catchment area are entitled to walk in and register with us if they're not on a payment, if they're on another type of payment, and still looking to return to work or develop some work skills so that they can ultimately return to work. So that's fine too. So we work with it all.
And I suppose one thing, Trish, and I can see people sitting at home and they're beating the radio and say, why do you ask her this? And this question is, your experience at the moment, are the jobs out there for people?
Well, there are many jobs. It's what types of jobs are people are looking for. It's what people are qualified and trained to do. But we do see a lot of movement at the moment, that there are a lot of different types of jobs and other jobs coming back that weren't there for a while. So we do see that there is a variety at the moment. So again, I can't say that there's jobs for everybody. It's, do I have the skills? Am I applying for the right types of jobs? Do I need support before I go for those jobs? But there are a lot, and you would have seen that at the recent jobs fair. There were a lot of employers there engaging in, you know, potential employees, job seekers, and discussing with them even about the opportunities. Well, people got to talk one-to-one. Do I have the skills for this? What do I need to do to get a job like that? So those career fairs are really good, because it's not just about, oh, does that employer have a vacancy and I'll apply for it, but it is an opportunity for job seekers to speak to employers about, what are the expectations? Can you look at my CV? Do you think this is good enough if I was applying for a job in your position? So those are really important opportunities for people, as we do say. Part of the job-seeking process is talking to people, trying to gauge what do I have to do, and again, coming back to the employment guidance officer, to plan for those roles and positions and future in the workplace and a specific type of job. And that's another department of ours, the education department, and I know you've met Paul Hayes, is really important because, again, that coupled with the local employment service helps people develop a third level degree, a higher level diploma, and things like that that also meet the needs and expectations of the workforce and the job opportunities that are out there.
And question now, Trish, that you know, and I can't wait to hear the answer to this, but you know, somebody is unemployed and they're thinking of availing of your services. Would you advise them to take 3, 4, maybe 5 days a week, whatever, and have a look at their area and see? Because I was actually shocked. Like, we all see the standout employees, we see the IDEA sites and that, but when I went down to the job site, the actual amount of companies down there looking for people shocked me. I didn't realise that there was actually so many different companies operating within the catchment area here. Would you, you know, advise people that before they do come near you at all, that they have a look in their area and see what companies are there, do a little bit of research and go, I would like to work for them, and now that doesn't suit me, pick the employer and then come to you?
I think that's the work we do while they're working with us. I would say anybody come to us. Let's talk about it, because people maybe don't know to even do that. And a lot of people say, oh, I've been handing out my CV in the area and I'm not getting any responses. Well, that's what they don't know, that behind these closed doors and you know, doorbells are other companies stacked in floors, hidden behind things. So really talking to us first, I think, is the best part. And then what we do is, you know, share the responsibility. We're not a job agency, but we're developing job seeking skills with the clients. So again, that's part of developing the skills necessary to be a job seeker and hopefully be most effective and get what you're looking for ultimately.
And Trish, I presume that from time to time employers actually, you know, lift the phone and ring you and say, look, I need 2 people with this qualification, I need 1 person, whatever. Your constant employers are constantly contacting you as well, yeah?
We do. We have a lot of employer engagement and we welcome it. So we would encourage all employers, and maybe sometimes we don't have the specific skill set, but between the two offices, we have a big staff of local employment service officers to kind of look at their caseloads, look at their clients, put it out there to a wide range of departments in the partnership that also work with people in the community that these job vacancies may be available, and we put it out there so that hopefully people will have an opportunity to know that these vacancies are there and respond.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a stat here, and you know, I suppose somebody said you can prove anything with figures if you're good enough. But I'm just looking at 2014. You had just over 2,000 new clients, and of those, 554 got work, and you also supported an additional 1,361 people to get education and training through that year. Like, that's a phenomenal strike rate. You know, that's huge success in any man's language.
And, you know, at the end of this year, you'll see that we've even, you know, gone further with those numbers. But it's the Northside Partnership has a wide outreach to the community through many different departments. And then they all know, you know, also that the Jobs Club is there, the local employment service is there, education is there. So we reach out to many people in many different ways, but then they come also for the needs of, you know, back to the workplace or back to education. So we are available to always improve on those numbers because we're here. Like I said, we've been doing it for over 25 years. You know, there was a time that there was us and FOSS, and they were 2 local employment services in the area, and now really it's the Northside Partnership local employment service. And the outreach is pretty big. Like you've mentioned, the postcodes, and, you know, we're from, you know, now Hoth down to Fairview. So we've got Belcamp, Darndale, Priorswood, Coolock, Kilbarrack, Raheny, Clintar, Fairview, Malahide, Donamead. So, you know, it's just about letting people know we are there. we always encourage people, pick up the phone and call to see if the service can support you.
Yeah, I mean, from my limited knowledge of you, and you know, we try to give you a slot every Monday, as you know, but I mean, I'm mesmerised by the amount of work you do. It's absolutely fabulous. It's an unbelievable, the Northside Partnership, I mean, what they do in the area here is unreal. For people who are listening to us this morning, I want to talk to Trish Gaynor. How do they get in touch with you, Trish?
Well, they ring the Northside Partnership Local Employment Service to register with the service or inquire, you know, to see if there's a program that they'd be interested in. So they ring 848-5630. Like I said, we've been on the ground here for a long time. We love to hear from people in our community. Now, if it's not something I can support them with directly, like I said, we have so many different programs, and I know you've spoken to so many different people, including health and other areas in the Northside Partnership. So we look at also our internal network and resources to support people as well. So it may not be something directly with me, but it could be someone else or another department in the Northside Partnership, and we'd be happy to hear from everybody.
Trish, one last thing before I let you go, and I'm really grateful to you for coming into us this morning, because you've been very informative, and as I say, I think the work you do is fantastic. Do you think... And it's a point that I heard made on more than one occasion in recent times, I suppose is the easiest way of putting it, that we are in an era now where, you know, in, we'll say, our era, you got a job and you were there for 35 or 40 years, whatever the duration, and that was it. But that those times are now gone, that you will have people who are, you know, 16, 17 years of age now, who may well have 3 or 4 different careers by the time it comes up for them to retire.
Absolutely. And that's where, again, people are looking to create things if they are experienced in the workplace and changing careers. So they are accessing training and work programs through us, which is, you know, a big part of today's economy and things like that. So people are also have been in the workplace need to upskill in different areas. Maybe they didn't have to use those skills for the past 20 years, but now technology changes, life changes, industry changes. So there is a lot of support for people when they are changing jobs to upskill, learn new skills and build their confidence so that they can move on to another area, you know, in that, because people, as you said, do change a little bit more frequently. The jobs for life aren't necessarily looked at that way anymore. And it's about preparing people for the future so we don't have another situation like we did back in 2008 forward, that, you know, people did that one job and weren't prepared for a different change of job. So I think it's also the psyche and people's mindset is changing to say, okay, you know, I'll learn. And I think that goes back to lifelong learning, which is something, you know, we advocate in life so that people can have other skills if in the event something did change and we can adapt probably a little bit better.
Trish, it was lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. And I think anybody listening will have found that extremely informative. Trish Gaynor from the Northside Partnership, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Donny.